With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Great. Do you agree that sweet potatoes are way overrated?
I prefer the sweet potato. Here, two forms of sweet potatoes. Sweet potato fries are actually really good if they're cooked right. And you have to have, like, the sweet potatoes with, like, the brown sugar on Thanksgiving. Those are my two options. All other forms, I agree with you, are not that good.
Okay, fair. I'll allow.
What about the straight mashed potato?
Would you say, Jim, mashed potatoes?
Yeah, they're just a regular old mashed potato.
Yeah, those are good, too. You know.
But it's a lukewarm endorsement.
Ray clearly needs a little more sweetness in his life, so he goes with the sweet potato. We're going to talk to this guy, Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus, in about 45 minutes here, Ray. And my first question is going to be, why does PFF hate the Steelers? That's probably overdoing it a bit, but why do you think there are still people around the league looking at the 10-0 Steelers team and perhaps not giving the quarterback his just due as an MVP candidate, and people are still grudgingly giving Mike Tomlin his credit as a possible Coach of the Year candidate?
Well, I completely don't understand the Tomlin one. I mean, I would think Tomlin would be a slam dunk this year. You know, the Ben one, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if you look at the numbers and you look at where the Chiefs are, I mean, how could you argue against him? I know Ben's having a great year, but I wouldn't have any issues if Mahomes won it over Ben. But that's not to say Ben shouldn't be in the conversation. I think one of the reasons, and I think we all know there's kind of something going on there with, you know, national analysts not liking Ben. I definitely think that's an undercurrent to this all. But I also think if you just watch the Steelers play, you know, and Eric Ebron talked about this yesterday, Ben has talked about it, the offense doesn't always look great. And if you sit down and watch a Steelers game, you might see Ben put on the cape and lead them to a big second half comeback to get a win, or you might watch him in a game like the Jaguars where they punt five times and, you know, they don't look all that great. So I think those are the two reasons. I completely don't get the PFF thing. I mean, he's rated in the bottom half of the league in quarterbacks according to their rankings. So I just don't get it, you know, where they're coming from. But I could sort of see why some people would favor Mahomes, just because he's having a great year too.
Ray, isn't that the part of the analytics stuff that gets to me? We see it in baseball as well, is they put a lot of emphasis on what should have happened instead of what actually did. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if there was ever a year where you could say, and I'm just talking about specifically about quarterbacks because we're talking about PFF and Ben, but if there was ever a year where you would judge a quarterback by his record, this would be it. And what I mean by that is, Ben has completely changed the way he operates as a quarterback from the last time we saw him over a full season in 2018. He's not making bad decisions. He's being more conservative. And I think a big key to this team winning this year are those decisions. And that's not necessarily going to, you know, win you fans in the analytics world. You know, checking it down, being okay with a punt when it's 3rd and 12 and you complete a 6-yarder. Those aren't the types of things that are going to get you very high in any ranking. So, you know, I think that's a big part of the reason the Steelers are having so much success this year. And I honestly believe, Jim, that this is a better version of Ben Roethlisberger than we've seen in quite some time. It's a different version, and it doesn't always look great, but I think he is providing exactly what this team needs to win. And really, you know, at this stage of his career, you know, that's all that matters for him.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette covers the Steelers, does so extremely well, and he joins us every week here on the Fan Morning Show to talk about the upcoming Steelers matchup, this one against the Ravens on Thanksgiving night. And if this is a more efficient, streamlined version of Ben Roethlisberger this year than any of us have seen before, the flip side of the coin is the quarterback for the guys in purple and black looks completely different than he did a year ago, Ray. And even though the Steelers were able to limit him in much of that game they played last October and limit him again this October, it would be revisionist history to say we didn't fear Lamar Jackson a bit coming into the season at the very least, but he's looked very human. And in some instances, I noticed it a lot against Tennessee, especially at the end of the game, he looked panicky at times. Do the Steelers, I know they have a healthy respect, as Mike Tomlin has said before, they don't fear Lamar Jackson, they respect him. But do they also look at him maybe as a target without Dobbins, without Ingram, with just Gus Edwards to help him in the run game? Do they look at Thursday night's game in particular and say, okay, Lamar, go ahead, beat us?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the, you know, I wonder sometimes, Chris, if, did the Steelers set the blueprint with how they played him so well twice last year that other teams studied that over the offseason, and now, you know, with that 8 months to prepare for the MVP, this is the result we're getting. You know, if you look at Jackson's game, it's not all that different from what it was a year ago. He's still not thrown to his receivers or without much success. His favorite target is Mark Andrews. And, you know, he's still a running threat, but he's probably a little bit less – he's been less dangerous in the running game this year for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, teams catching up to it, they know how to scheme him now. I still think the Ravens can get into the playoffs. I know a lot of people want to bury them after losing three or four. But, Chris, if you look at their schedule after the Steelers, five very manageable games to end the season, where even if they lose to the Steelers, they could still finish 11-5, which I think will probably get them, you know, the six or the seven seed in the AFC. So he hasn't been as good as he was last year. The team around him hasn't been as good as they were last year. But I, you know, the way I look at it is they're kind of going through what the Steelers went through in 2017, 2018. The Steelers won all those close games in 2017. You know, they finished 13-3, probably should have been 14-2 if not for the Jesse James play. And then they just came back to earth the next year and they were losing close games. So I kind of think that's where the Ravens are now. And what they want to avoid is they want to avoid what happened to the Steelers. They want to find a way to get into the playoffs and then maybe see if they can correct it once they get there. But that's sort of my, you know, my view of the Ravens right now is I still think they're good, but I think the league has caught up to them just a little bit this year.
Ray, obviously without Ingram and Dobbins, the Ravens running game isn't going to be as multi-pronged as it was when they ran for 265 yards less than a month ago. But Alo-Alo got hurt early in that game. Mike Hilton didn't play. With those guys back, should that fix whatever ills the Steelers had against the run game? And just to make this a two-pronged question, would Hilton profile as a potential, not really a full-time spy on Jackson, but as a guy from the edge that could keep him contained instead of just an all-out blitzer?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly wouldn't be a traditional spy, you know, because he's, when I think of spies, I would think of somebody like a Ryan Shazier who has that athletic profile, or maybe even a guy like Terrell Edmonds, you know, that first round pick who did everything well at the combine, that has that the speed, the quickness, everything to mirror what a guy like Jackson does. So, you know, I think Hilton would certainly play a role in that. And then the first part of your question was, sorry, Jim, can you repeat that?
No, just Alo-Alo coming back along with Hilton. Yeah. Should that help fix the ills of the run defense that the Steelers showed the first time they played him?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't assume that. I mean, he's been so good this year, but Alo-Alo played last year in both games, and the Ravens had a lot of success against the Steelers last year. I really think that for whatever reason, that matchup hasn't been good to the Steelers. I mean, they've actually fared well in those games. They've played in close games. They obviously one in Baltimore. But I think they maybe have to change things up with the way they scheme up defending that zone read. Maybe make some changes. Maybe they have to run blitz a little bit more. But, you know, they gave up 223 to the Steelers last year in Baltimore without Lamar Jackson, without Ingram. You know, Gus Edwards and those guys and Robert Griffin were the stars of that game. So I think it's more scheme than personnel. But certainly Alualu coming back and Mike Hilton coming back, I think that will help in regards to, you know, their performance. But I just think the coaches have to maybe change things up and, you know, draw things up a little bit differently if they want things to be different on Thursday night.
Ray Fittipaldo covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. He's with us here on the Fan Morning Show. 10-0. I know they're focused on 1-0 every week, but we're fans. We're allowed to look at the possibility of 16-0, Ray. And the Steelers in their final half dozen games have four teams with winning records sitting on their schedule: Baltimore, Buffalo, Indy, and Cleveland. Which of those four teams do you think has the best chance to beat them?
This is going to surprise some people, but I think Baltimore on Thursday night. And I know they've lost three or four. They're not the same team, but there's just something about this matchup. Home field doesn't matter, and I know there's no crowds in Baltimore or Pittsburgh this year of any significance. But I just think Baltimore has their roster can give the Steelers problems, and I think that team probably has the best chance to beat the Steelers. The Bills are good. You know, that could be a potential roadblock for the Steelers. I don't know about the Browns. I'm still not sold on the Browns. And I'm still not really sold on the Colts, although I respect that defense a lot. Even though they gave up a lot of points to the Packers, they made some key stops in that game too. So if I had to rank those teams, I would say Ravens, Bills, Colts, Browns. But, you know, I think any of those four teams could rise up and beat the Steelers on any given day.
Ray, I don't believe we asked. My memory is fleeting sometimes at my advanced age, but we didn't ask you the juju question. What's your gut? Maybe we'll know more, I guess, you know, when the week speaks to us starting today. But do you think there's chances that he's going to play, or you think he might have to sit this one out?
Short week. I mean, he was hobbling around there pretty good, guys. If he does play, I don't think he's going to be 100%. I would think he would maybe be out there as a decoy. You know, maybe just play in the slot, maybe just be a check down guy. He did not look good at the end of that game when he was leaving the field after the final gun. So I'm a little bit more optimistic about Joe Hayden. You know, Vance McDonald coming back would be huge, but not sure about Juju. And if he does play, I'm not, you know, sure how effective he would be with that bum ankle.
Well, Matt made a good point earlier on the early morning show, and we talked about it very, very early this morning, Ray. The big thing with the Ravens is the size of their secondary and the physicality of their secondary, and Juju is the most physical of the Steelers' receiving core, even including Ebron probably. Claypool's the biggest, but Juju's definitely the most physical. If it means more James Washington or more Ray Ray in the slot or however they decide to distribute the snaps if Juju can't go, are those the kind of guys taking those snaps that can stand up to the physicality of the Ravens secondary?
Yeah, I mean, those guys would definitely have to step up and take more snaps. But to me, this would be like the perfect breakout opportunity for Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. Say, okay, Juju's not here. Put it on my shoulders. You know, Ben, I'm going to win my matchup. Come to me. So that's, you know, we haven't really had to see that this year because, you know, Ben has allowed the coverage to dictate where he goes. But all of a sudden, if you lose arguably your top receiver, or let's say your most reliable receiver, if you would lose that guy against a team like the Ravens, you know, with Peters and with Humphrey, I would think, you know, that's a perfect opportunity for Claypool and Johnson to say, hey, I'm the guy this week. Ben, come to me. You know, Washington and Ray Ray, they'd be fine, you know, but they're not going to be able to put up, you know, seven catches for 100 yards. Claypool and Johnson are those guys, and they would have to step up and do that Thursday night.
Great stuff as always, Ray. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the game Thursday night, and we'll catch up with you on the other side next week.
All right, you guys too. Happy Thanksgiving.
I see you, Ray
Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette covers the Steelers.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.